All right, Psalm 51. Please stand, if you will, out of love and respect for God's word, if you're physically able. Psalm 51. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 19. That's, of course, the whole chapter. So we're going to read this together. I'm going to read every verse. You're going to join me on the even verses. All right? That's kind of become our custom on Sunday mornings, just to show everyone the truth of the matter that I am odd and that all of you are very even. So we want to make sure people know and understand that. But we'll read together on the even verses, and I'll read by myself on the odd verses of Psalm 51 in verse 1. And have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. And a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Well, as I mentioned, it is slightly a heavy subject and title today. But can I tell you, the ending is good. So I think you'll like that as we go on here. Of course, you may know that here in Psalm 51, this is the psalm. In my Bible, it gives somewhat of a title here. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. And of course, this was a time of sin in David's life, and probably one of the most recognizable things that we think of when we think of David and in his life. And unfortunately, he did a lot of wonderful things, but everybody seems to remember the bad stuff. Amen. That's kind of how it goes. But this psalm is, of course, from that circumstance, after Nathan came in and told the story of the rich man and the poor man and the lamb, and the rich man taking the lamb from the poor family and giving it to his neighbor. And of course, David cried out and said that man should be killed and punished and all these things, and or maybe punished, then killed, and then punished again. I don't know, something like that. But I'm just teasing, folks. it was not good. And then of course Nathan pointed his finger and said, "Thou art the man." And David immediately knew that he had been found out, if you will, with what he had done. And yes, it was a terrible circumstance. But out of it comes this psalm, the psalm that David says in the very beginning, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." in verse 3, he says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." You understand that as we look at this idea, this is something that is a blight on all of us. This thing called sin. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that all men are sinners. So sin is something that we deal with every single day. Or if I may, we need to deal with it every single day. So just simply the title of this message is simply the burden of sin. The burden of sin. Can I tell you something? Sin is a burden. But we'll skip ahead just a little bit. We don't have to bear it alone. But it is a burden. So as we look at this thing of sin, we need to kind of understand it. How many of you seem to have a better time dealing with something if you understand it? Okay? Listen, we're all under sin. The condemnation of it, the burden of it, the weight of it. But if we can understand it a little bit, maybe it won't be that we have to bear it alone, or we have an opportunity to get rid of the burden of sin in our lives. We need to understand what it is. So first of all, let's look at the idea of sin. What is it? How does it affect us? What is it that makes it sin? Why is this sin and this is not? And what are the parameters and ramifications of it all? The idea of sin. In our Sunday school class, we've been able to talk about this idea of sin over the last several weeks. It is introduced to us through a creature. His name was Lucifer. He was the anointed cherub, the covering cherub in heaven. In Ezekiel 28, it says this, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." So this idea of sin, can I tell you something? It's an idea. It's iniquity. Iniquity. Satan hadn't done anything yet. He hadn't actually led a revolt against God. He didn't gather together a third part of the angels and they were armed with weapons and they attacked the throne room of God and tried to take over the place. It was just iniquity in his heart. Can I tell you something? Sin is an idea. In James chapter 1, the Bible gives us a little bit of light to this. It says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted, and is drawn away of his own lust, and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." You know, why do you think when Jesus was teaching, he told him, he said, "Hey, listen, I know it says in old time, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto thee, if you even hate your brother, you've already committed murder in your heart." He said, "Hey, I know it's been said out of old time that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto thee, if you've already lusted in your heart after the woman, you've already committed adultery." You see, sin is an idea. It's a thought. It begins in us. And Satan was the anointed cherub. And he was perfectly created and beautifully created before God. It says, till iniquity was found in thee. We know in Isaiah that the Bible says that the devil said, "I will be like the Most High. I will ascend." He said, "I will, I will, I will, I will." He never did. He never did. But it was the idea of sin. Can I tell you something? Our heart is wicked above all measure. It's desperately wicked. We cannot even know it, but we know it's bent toward hell, and we're cursed already by sin. You see, this is just something that's in us. Why? Well, because in Genesis 3, we've talked about this in the fall of man in our Sunday school class, and how the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. You see, these events happened with Lucifer, and he was kicked out of heaven. He hates God. And he wants man, God's prize crowning creation, to also hate God. And to go against God. And to defile the things that God has done. So he comes to the woman and says, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, we know that all that in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. It says that she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. You know what? It's just the he put an idea in her mind, didn't he? Just a question. Just a consideration. Did God really say that? He didn't tell you that it was gonna be a benefit to you if you eat of this. That it'll make you as gods. You know, that was his desire, wasn't it? To be like the Most High. Well, can I tell you something? The idea of sin is in us. The Bible says that the way that we can protect against this is to hide God's word in our heart. It says, "Thy word in mine have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." So guess what? If we don't have the word of God in our heart, we're going to sin against him. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." We know that in 1 John, the Bible tells us, "Whosoever committeth sin, transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law." That's a definition. That's what it is. What law? What boundaries do we have? "Yea, hath God said?" That was the boundary, wasn't it? What did God tell them? "Hey, listen, anything you want out there, it's a magical forest buffet." But not that one. We know later, as we read through Genesis, that after man fell, God put an angel with a sword, a flaming sword, so that man wouldn't go back into the garden and eat of the tree of life. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Could they have eaten of that tree? They could have. He didn't tell them not to eat of that tree, did he? But you know what? He didn't. And man sinned against God. Why? We know that transgression, sin is the transgression of the law. Gone against what God says. You know what? There's a lot of things in this book that God says that man doesn't like. Can I even tell you something? There's a lot of things in this book that God says that Christians don't like. You know what I hear? "Oh, that doesn't apply to me. Oh, that doesn't apply to our society today. Oh, that book, it's outdated. It doesn't work in this time." I don't see an expiration date on this thing. "These laws and rules are only good until 19, whatever. No, I'm sorry. I don't see that here. Do you see that here? No, it's God's word. Yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the Lord. I change not. Sin is the transgression of the law. That's the definition of sin. That's what sin is. There was iniquity found in Lucifer. We understand from James that this thing happens in us. When we're tempted, we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 5. We've gone over this passage of Scripture before. But can I tell you, it bears repeating and rereading, if you will. Look at Romans chapter 5, look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so is also the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And as not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It's simply that sin is the transgression of the law. What is the law? It's the word of God. God's law. God's expectations. God's yeses and nos. That's the idea of sin. So that idea is out there, isn't it? It's kind of in all of us. But can I tell you something? As we found out in James, when we are tempted by and drawn away by our own lusts, it conceives and it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So not only is the idea of sin a burden, but the act of sin is a burden. The very act of it. You know what David said back in Psalm 51? He said, my sin is ever before me. He says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Folks, I don't know about you, but when I was saved, I understood that I had done evil in the sight of God. Hey, listen, I hadn't killed anybody. I was an eight-year-old little boy. But my mom and dad asked me, Eric, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Now listen, at that time in my life, I had been to church, raised in church. I sang all the Bible, Sunday school songs, and I read all the Bible verses, and I memorized Scripture, and I did all those things. Because, can I tell you something? I knew Jesus was the Savior, but He wasn't my Savior. I'd never asked Him to save me. But you know what? When they were asking me, do you know you're a sinner? I knew I was a sinner. I hadn't killed anybody, but I had stolen things. I had lied. I had hit my sister. That was bad. I had disobeyed my parents. I had been dishonest. Hey, listen, if an 8-year-old kid knows those things, don't we? Can I tell you something? Those were actions. Those were things that I did in sin. David knew what his actions had meant. He knew that he should have been out to war, because it was time for kings to be out to war. Oh, he knew as soon as his eye caught sight of that woman bathing on her rooftop, he knew this isn't right. And he knew when he asked the servant to go and get her and bring her to him, he already knew. And after that was finished, he knew he's in trouble. And he knew he had to cover it up. So he called her husband home from battle. He was where he was supposed to be. And that man was so honorable, he wouldn't play along. And because he wouldn't play along, and he was a true and righteous and upright man, Uriah the Hittite was sent to his death by his king. Carried the letter of his death sentence to the captain. He didn't even know it. And as the battle raged, they drew back, and Uriah the Hittite was killed. Murdered by David, the king. Well, he knew. Our sin is ever before us. You know what it says? The Bible tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. See, but nobody knows. yes, somebody does. He does. It's the act of sin. In Romans chapter 7, the Bible says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Then, if I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. It's in us, folks. It's entwined in us. Because of the sin of Adam. It is an act against God. He took of the fruit given to him by the woman. Tricked into it by the devil. She was. But it's the act of sin. It's the idea of sin. And that's what is a burden to us. How many of you, the moment you do something you know you're not supposed to, it's like somebody just stacked a bunch of bricks on your back. And time after time, just the load becomes somewhat unbearable. I don't know if any of you are literary fans, but there's a wonderful book out there that illustrates this beautifully. Pilgrim's Progress. You read the book? If you haven't, you should. What was Christian carrying around? That sack and that burden. Wasn't he? It's a burden. But you know what? Aren't you glad that not only is the idea of sin and the act of sin a burden, but there's relief from that burden. There's relief. I kind of led into it in a segue sort of fashion with Paul saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Can you picture an individual just laden down with all these things, with sin and the confusion and that I would and I don't want to, but I do it anyways and it's in my members and I just can't escape from it. But he says, "I thank God through Christ Jesus, our Lord." That's our relief. Jesus Christ is our relief. In our hymnals, we have a song that illustrates this beautifully. The burden of sin has been lifted as far as east is from west. They're buried without remembrance in God's sea of forgetfulness. I've been to Calvary's fountain. My name is written above. When Satan rails accusations, I tell him they're under the blood. They're under the blood. They're under the blood. Christ did for me what I could not do there under the blood. Just like the Passover in Egypt's land, it took the blood to save man. Washed and made clean, I'm justified when God sees the blood. Hey, that's the only thing that can lift our burden of sin, is the blood of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know what? The lost person, condemned already in their trespasses and sins, finds relief from sin by finding salvation in Jesus Christ. But the saved individual who's already experienced that wonderful transaction, because the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." But we also are still in this body of flesh and still need forgiveness from our sins. And as the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Job chapter 7, Job said, "I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? And why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be." You know what Job was looking for? Relief. Can you blame him? No, I can't blame him. In Psalm 38, David said, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head,
As in heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. Where can we find relief? I mean, this burden of sin is heavy, and if the psalmist in what Job says is any indication, it is overwhelming in us. But you know what? In Ephesians 2:5, it says, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Jesus Christ is the relief from our sin, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In 1 John 2:2, it says, and he is the propitiation. He's the payment, the replacement for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. In 1 John 3:5, it says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. In 1 John 4, verse 10, it says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And may I say to you, so loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I love what it says of John in Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We have relief from sin, folks, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Jesus Christ is the relief from the burden of sin. They've been lifted. How? Under the blood. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Just like the song says. Are you there in Romans chapter 3? Look at verse 23. You know this verse. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We know that Solomon was the wisest man in all the world, said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Isn't that indeed echoed in 1 John? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that what David said? He said, hey, purge me with hyssop, cleanse me, wash me, clean me, God, because of my iniquity, because of my sin. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. You see, God is our relief from the burden. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus Christ wants to help us with the burden of sin. He wants to relieve us. But we have to make the choice, don't we? As a sinner, as a lost person without hope, without God, we have to come to Jesus and accept his gift of eternal life. As a saved person, who already has that gift of eternal life. As we continue to sin in our lives, we need to come to Him and confess our sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, restore fellowship to us, relieving our burden from our sins. I remember as a young person, while I'm telling the story, you can turn to Psalm 103. We're going to end there today. As a young person, I wasn't always honest with my parents. Okay? Is that all right to say? I mean, I know all of you were, but I wasn't. And as I made choices in my life, a lot of them had to do with my homework and not doing it. Yeah. I thought it was a waste of my time because I was a little bit too smart for my own good. I was the kid that everybody hated because all I had to do was take the test and get an A, and I didn't do any of the homework and didn't do any of the assignments and things like that. But it was to my detriment. I learned that too late in life, I think. But anyways, I remember that when I would receive my report card, it just happened to stay in my locker instead of go home. Yeah. You know why? And I just happened to not come in contact with my parents for quite some time. It was an odd occurrence. Listen, folks, I was avoiding them because I knew my mom would ask me. Hey, where's your report card? I didn't get one. Yeah, right. How stupid was that answer? I mean, come on. I thought it was a great answer, but, you know. Huh? But don't we, in our sin, avoid God? Avoid the truth? But if we'll come to Him, He will forgive us. He will relieve us of our burden. Look, are you there in Psalm 103? Beautiful psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindnesses and tender mercies, who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. Hath not He dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities? As for the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. You know what, folks? God knows. He knows our plight. He knows the burden of sin is heavy upon us. And may I say as a plea today, if you have not known Jesus Christ as your Savior, today can be the day of relief from the burden of sin for you. You'll just come to Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll forgive you of your sin. He'll give you eternal life and a home in heaven. And can I say to you, those of you who are believers, you've already trusted Jesus Christ, but maybe you've fallen back a bit. Can I say, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, the idea of sin is there. The act of sin is certainly there. It's a real thing and it's a real burden. But there's relief through Jesus Christ, our Lord.